Okay, so as James said, Claire and I are wanting to share with you this morning about hope and salvation, and our prayer is that you are impacted by what we've got to say this morning. We're not saying it in our own strength. It isn't our words. We believe that God has given us the strength and the words to speak to you this morning. So last week, I was travelling in the car with my four-year-old daughter, Isla, and she was sat on her booster seat next to me, and we're listening to Christian music. And anyone that knows Isla, she likes a chat. So she's listening to the words, and she turns to me, and she says, "Mummy, why did Jesus die?" And then as the words of the song continue, she starts asking more questions. Who is the Holy Spirit, Mummy? And where is God? And she continues to ask these questions. And it really made me think, as I'm trying to explain these concepts that sometimes I find hard to explain to myself, to a four-year-old, it made me focus my mind on what I believe in. And it also helped me prepare for this morning, because actually the foundations of what I believe in is what leads me to have hope in salvation. So I started writing a list. So here goes. I believe God created the world. I believe God made me. I believe God sent his son to live on this earth. I believe Jesus is God's son. I believe Jesus lived a perfect life. I believe Jesus demonstrated how we should live, showing love, kindness, and acceptance to all. I believe Jesus died on the cross and took all of our sins and set us free. I believe Jesus rose again and we can have eternal life with him. I believe God sent his Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit gives me strength, helping me to be joyful, patient, kind, giving me faithfulness, goodness, and peace. I believe God made me in his image. I believe I am adopted into his family. I believe God loves me. And the list could go on and on. And I would encourage you, as an exercise of encouragement, to write your own lists of what you believe in. So as I said, this list is what's made me feel so passionately about what Claire and I want to share with you this morning. I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not understand everything, but the power of his salvation is so amazing, and the impact of living with hope is so powerful. I want us to take time this morning focusing on these things. I've asked Vanessa to come and read from the Bible. If you have Bibles, if you've got a Bible app on your phone, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to each man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with him in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
So I've had the absolute privilege of being able to be part of Alpha and Journeys that Tim and Vanessa run at the gate. Being able to be with people as they hear and understand for the first time that they can have a relationship with God. Seeing the weight that is lifted when they realise God loves them no matter what. Seeing the light that the gospel brings into people's lives. I want us to consider our faith as Paul wrote to the Corinthians. For God who said, let light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. I want us to think about how life was before God revealed himself to you and what a difference Jesus has made in your life. It might be that for the first time you're giving time to consider that maybe there's more to God than going to church, more to God than singing songs, more to God than the prayers that we hear, that we can have a relationship with God. And this morning, my hope is for those of you that are hearing this for the first time, that God will speak to you very clearly about how much he loves you and how much he wants to bring hope into your situations. My hope is that you will be impacted by what you hear. So over a year ago, we went as a family to Chessington World of Adventures. Has anybody been to Chessington World of Adventures? Wave if you have. The trouble is, when I go, my husband's a bit of a scaredy cat when it comes to the rides. So we don't get to go on many of the rides. But there we go. It's all right, Phil. It's okay. I'm bringing back bad memories for him now. Okay, he's the one in the purple top, for those guests that don't know. So, we get to Chessington. We start going on some of the rides, except for my husband. And then we go through one ride, and you go on this sort of car thing. You go round, and then when you finish, you get out of the car thing, and you have to go through a mirror maze. And as probably the name suggests, the walls are all covered in mirrors. Mirrors? See, it's one of the words. I've got Cara laughing at the back because sometimes I have difficulties saying words. And unfortunately, milk and mirror are the words that I struggle to say. So I've got both Cara and Livy laughing at me because in the love they have for me, they like to take the mickey. So please try not to laugh when I say the word mirror. So the maze is covered in mirrors on the wall. I'm going to try and say it properly. So as a family, so I have three children and they are now aged 11, 8 and 4. So you can guess what age they were over a year ago, just over a year ago. So we come out of the ride. We are holding hands. We are walking through this dark maze and the mirrors make it incredibly confusing. You turn round, you find yourself banging into the walls, we're getting lost, but we are making sure that together we are holding the children's hands. And eventually, and I have to say, it was meant to be fun, but I'm not quite sure what the element of fun was around going through a dark mirrored maze, but there we go. Eventually we got out of the maze. So we find ourselves standing there, phew, we're out, ha ha ha, wasn't that fun, not. And then we discover that we've only got two children with us, that, whoops, we've left one of the children in the maze. Theo isn't with us. So we've got Isla and Phoebe and no Theo. And then suddenly we hear a tremendous shrieking noise. And I have to say, and poor Theo, he'll be a bit embarrassed, so don't mention it to him. But I haven't heard Theo shriek with such terror before. And Phil will confirm it was such a fearful scream. So superhero Phil runs back into the maze, finds Theo because he's screaming so loudly, bless him. Takes his hand and helps him back out of the maze. And he was quite traumatised as well. Poor little boy. I'm not sure he'll be going in any mirrored mazes in the near future. So don't mention it to him. But he was absolutely terrified. When he realised that he was on his own in this dark, scary maze, he was filled with absolute fear. The maze wasn't different. It was the same dark, scary, confusing, mirrored maze. There was no difference about the maze. But when Isla and Phoebe and Theo at the time, until he let go, were holding hands and we were all walking through that terrifying maze together, it was manageable. We could cope with it. But when suddenly Theo found himself lost and alone, he felt completely terrified. When Phil came in and took his hand, his confidence returned. He realised he had hope to be able to get out of the maze and back in the light. Life is like that maze. There are times that life is incredibly confusing, sad, terrifying. There are times in life that are very dark. Each turn can lead to disappointment, and you can become exhausted by the path that you are on. We will all feel at times we are on this type of path. And whether we believe in God or not, the road of suffering is the same. But if you have God in your life, the big difference is you know you are not alone and that you have hope. 2 Corinthians verse 8 says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." I am not going to stand here and say that the road is any less tough. However, as a Christian, I not only know I am never alone, He is with me, guiding me, and giving me strength to keep walking and giving me comfort. Without that, I would be as terrified as Theo was when he found himself alone and scared in the maze. But more than this, on the walk on this path, we can have hope. Hope of eternity with Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 14 says, "Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself." In Jesus, God himself took on all of our sins and suffered death so that you and I might be forgiven. escaped eternal death, and have life forever with God. We can have confidence of the eternal hope we have in eternal life. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly, we are being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweigh them all. So fix your eyes not on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I recently completed some daily reflections written by Kristen Wetherill and Sarah Wharton. And if you want to find out, I can send you a copy of them on hope and hopelessness. And they wrote, one day the road will end, and it will end in an eternal city of God's people. The loneliness of this world will be washed away in the presence of Christ. The path is uphill, but the summit is glorious. The path is uphill, but the summit is glorious. They go on to explain, when we choose to trust Christ through the trial we face, we are filled with his power and presence, reflecting his image to those around us. I'll read that again. When we choose to trust Christ through the trial we face, we are filled with his power and presence, reflecting his image to those around us. I've asked Claire to come and share her story with us, which demonstrates even better, you know, a lot better than I could say about what I've been talking about and what Paul wrote to the Corinthians about. Claire, do you want to come up?
So, my faith in God. My dad died when I was 7, leaving myself and my 2 sisters, 6 and 2 years of age, and of course my devastated 25-year-old mum. I felt so angry, especially in my teens, that this had happened. But my dad had a small Bible which he had from school, and I was always drawn to reading this Bible. It was then that I realised that there is a God and a heaven, and felt comfort in reading pages when I felt upset. But I didn't know how to have a relationship with God. My poor mum had deep depression, which was heartbreaking to see and really hard to cope with. Holding on tight to each other as sisters, and myself trying to be a mummy to them, I have to say, on both sides of our families, they helped as much as they could. My mum then went on to meet a man a few years later who turned out to be our stepfather and took us 3 girls on as his own daughters. He was an amazing man, and life started to begin to feel a little bit normal. With the great news of my mum expecting their baby together was a lovely happiness for us all. Another girl, 4 daughters, and Alan was excellent at being a father. We couldn't have asked for a better stepfather. After all this great news, my mum was then in and out of hospital for over 3 years, nearly dying herself with septicemia, peritonitis, and operations to help her to try and survive. This made us girls so insecure, and again, I still turned to reading my dad's Bible, but couldn't understand why after all of things that had happened. Life and things got better, and we had lots and lots of happy times. Then at the age of 14, 15, my little baby sister Jodie started going to Life Church, and there found her faith in God. She went on to be baptised, and a couple of times I went on a Sunday morning with Jodie and felt quite at home. It was around this time that I had met my boyfriend, and we would just meet up on a Sunday. Then I became seriously ill, rushed into hospital, and later diagnosed with a terrible illness called Guillain-Barré syndrome. This shut all my immune system down. I couldn't walk, use my body, and couldn't talk. I don't remember much in the beginning, as in the end, my whole body shut down. I was in King's College for 2 months and saw over 200 practice doctors and nurses with this rare illness. All this time, my sister Jodie, my niece, and the Life Church were praying for me. At one point, I remember having an out-of-body experience and thought that I was going to heaven. But through sheer determination and fight, I pulled through. I had lots of physio to help me walk again, and after I could do the first flight of stairs at King's, I was then allowed to move to the William Harvey. The porter came to get me, put me in a wheelchair to take me to the waiting room for the ambulance crew to take me to Ashford. He then said to me, "Can I pray with you?" "Yes, I will," I said. "Well, I have never experienced anything like this." This light appeared so brightly, and my emotions and emotions were so overpowering. And his words were, "You are very special. You have had a guardian angel watch over you." Then the light went. I looked around, and this porter had gone, nowhere to be seen, leaving me overwhelmed and quite stunned. It took me about 8 months to recover, and I now suffer with ME and nerve damage, which can be very challenging. One thing this taught me was, although our dad had died, which tore us all apart, it brought us closer together. I also realised that my mum wouldn't have met my stepdad. They wouldn't have had my sister Jodie, and maybe I wouldn't have had so many prayers said for me, for God to heal me and to send my guardian angel to help me through my illness, in which I could have died. Then I felt that God has had a plan at this time. I cannot understand why, but for this part of my life, I understand that this was God's plan for me. Life carried on for me, and my relationship with my boyfriend Daryl became serious. He asked me to marry him, and after a couple of years' engagement, we decided to get married in 2008. I also had started up my own business, hairdressing, along with the help of Daryl, with sheer determination, not letting my illness get in the way. This business had been going for 4 years at the time we got married. Then 5 months before our special day, more awful news of my stepdad came. He had a massive bleed on the brain and had hours to live. And at the age of 56, he died the next day. This left us all absolutely devastated. And I questioned God so much. Why? Why Alan? Why is this happening to my poor mum and us four girls again? None of us know these answers, but mixed emotions run through my mind, and I felt these times were very challenging and trying. We decided to go ahead with our wedding day, which was beautiful, although at times we had to smile through the tears of Alan not being there. But my mum and family wanted this special day to go ahead, as he would have wanted it too. Daryl and I went on to have two beautiful children, Lewis and Darcy. The salon also doing really well, and this is where I met Sonia. Sonia used to talk about the church a lot and used to give me lots of things to think about, still not knowing that I could have a relationship with God. Then my son Lewis started Lynn Primary School, and this is where I met Amy and Phil. Amy then started coming to the salon to get her hair done and asked me if I would like to come to SKCC, in which I did. It was there and then where I felt quite at home and enjoyed going to Alpha and Journeys. Then my poor sister Karen was diagnosed with a spinal AVM in her spine, which was really deep and difficult to operate on. I was so anxious and upset for her, and Amy could see this and asked if she could pray. It was at this time when I felt God. I cannot explain how I felt, but know that he was there. My sister had a 12-hour operation and has pulled through. The surgeon is absolutely amazed how Karen has come out of this operation. He thought she may have slow speech, loss of feelings in her leg, and not knowing whether she would even survive. But after a couple of weeks, walking fine, he was amazed. I thank God as we continuously prayed for her. She is now doing fine and since had a baby and also wants a relationship with God. Feeling relieved for Karen and as a family, a close family, starting to come to terms with every day was then taken from me again. My husband, for 18 years, started having headaches. Doctors on the Monday, scan Wednesday, to then be told he has a brain tumour. I kept saying there is so much they can do now, Daryl, it will be okay. And praying to God to please make it all better. On the Monday, we went to King's to be told it's a grade 4 tumour and there's nothing that they can do. Tuesday, Daryl had a bleed within the tumour and in A&E at the William Harvey Hospital, after scans and seeing doctors, we were waiting for a bed on the ward. Daryl was feeling quite sick with the medication and where he hadn't eaten. Well, a doctor came and I couldn't help but notice how smartly dressed he was. Suited with a waistcoat that had a watch on it, a tie and a little handkerchief that matched the tie in his pocket. His shoes were so shiny they sparkled at the corner of my eye. And his skin was unusually transparent, just perfect. He came to Daryl, called his name, looked in his eyes and said a few medical things, and then said, Daryl, you are hungry, you need to eat a little something, creamy rice with jam. Now this was Daryl's favourite, and within minutes he was back with this for Daryl to eat, which to me and my sister and friend who were there thought this was impossible. He then turned to me, hugged me tight, prayed and said, have faith and hope. I then realised Daryl's coordination wasn't right, so went to find this doctor. I asked the nurses and other doctors on the ward, even the two porters that were there. No one knew him, not one person. I've asked a few people that worked there since and tried to look him up. Nothing. We cannot find him. I believe this man was an angel. Daryl died 2 days later with dignity. As he was such a proud man, he was an amazing father and husband and friend to many. Don't get me wrong, I have got angry, I've shouted, I've questioned my beliefs at times. I also believe that meeting Sonia, Mike, Amy and Phil and all at SKCC was in God's plan, as their help through all this has been amazing. I know that Daryl met with God that night. I can't explain how I know, and it doesn't make it any easier. Our lives have been turned upside down and we miss him immensely. I am grateful to my two children that keep me going every day, and I pray for God's support, God's strength, God's courage, and God's hope, along with my two children that pray every day too. The thing is, if you haven't got God, and if you haven't got faith, and if you haven't got heaven, what is there? What have we got to hang on to?
Thank you, Claire, for sharing that. Claire's testimony is an amazing one because what God did in Claire's life was that he revealed himself to her even before she knew him. He demonstrated his love and comfort towards her. He went before her by bringing Jody into Life Church, revealing himself to Jody. Claire shared this morning, clearly showing how deep she is still in her situation. Those struggles are still there, and she is still living in the midst of darkness. Claire did a really good job this morning of putting the mask on. But under that mask, life is horrendous for Claire. But she holds on to the faith that she has in the Lord Jesus Christ, not understanding why she's had to go through all these horrendous things, but knowing that God has a bigger picture, that God revealed himself to Daryl before he left us, and that we can have hope in the eternal life that Jesus brings. God met with Claire. He revealed himself to her. Claire realized that there's more to God than going to church, than listening to prayers. That God wants a personal and wanted a personal relationship with her. And Claire responded to that. God is with us. God was with Claire before she knew him. God revealed himself to Claire. But God needed Claire to open the door to him. Please, please consider, if you haven't asked Jesus into your life yet, you may know of God, you may be coming to church, you may read your Bible, you may even say prayers, you may sing the songs, but if you haven't asked Jesus to come into your life, please consider doing it this morning. Because when you do that, the presence of God will fill your life and you will start a new life with him. This morning, we have heard how loving and accepting God is, and that there is nothing that any of us can do that can separate us from that love. But what God does ask us to do is to ask for his forgiveness, because he wants to wash us clean from our sins. So he wants us to say, God, please forgive me. I love you and I want to have a relationship with you. I would love to pray for you, and there are others here that would love to pray for you. And in a minute, we're going to have an opportunity to come up and receive prayer. If that is you, if your heart is pounding as I am speaking and you know that you're ready to take the next step, then I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. I also want to give those who are in the midst of despair, who are in their own maze of darkness, feeling confused, feeling there's no way out. For those of you that perhaps have lost hope in your situations, we're going to give an opportunity to pray with you as well. Claire and I don't have the answers, and neither of us can get our heads round why Daryl died. I don't understand it, and I can't even try. But God has put hope in our hearts. And if you feel you need that hope to be restored in your hearts, then please come up and receive from him. I'm going to hand over to James, and he's going to lead us through with some worship. And there's going to be if the Connect Group leaders and others, if the women that prayed with me this morning could come up, and we can pray for you if you've been impacted this morning. Please, if you feel God speaking to you this morning, please don't go without asking someone to pray for you. I'm just going to pray now. Lord, I thank you for your love. Lord, I thank you that you have a purpose and plan for each one of us. Lord, I thank you that all we need to do is open the door to you, and you can be part of our lives, that we can call you Father, that you can carry us, you can give us strength, you can give us light in the dark, and you can help us cope with each day. Lord, I thank you, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross, so that nothing can separate us from you, so that we can be certain that we will have eternal life with you. And Lord, I pray for those here this morning that hearts are pounding, that can hear you speaking to them. Lord, I pray that you'll give them confidence to come up and receive from you this morning, Lord. Come upon us now, Lord, I pray. Help us to listen to what you want us to do now, Lord. We love you, Lord. And Lord, I pray your blessing over Claire. I pray your protection over her. That this week she will feel your comfort and love surrounding her and her two children. I pray these things in your name. Amen.